Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I have a brand new podcast during this awful time in our lives. And I'm so excited because, you know, I always have guests in my studio. And I have never, ever in 5 years done a remote podcast. And we're doing it. And she's amazing. Because I would never be able to get this person otherwise. It's true. I mean, like, when would we podcast together? Her name is Rachel Bell. And she's a Jew. So I'm going to be, this is going to be one of our higher bell ringing episodes. If you don't know Rachel, you're an asshole. I think the people in the Pacific Northwest really know Rachel because she's a very talented, well-known radio personality, on the Ron and Don show. I mean, you're on a shitload of shows, right?
How many shows can you name? I'm on all of them.
Okay. She's on all the fucking shows. Okay. That's what I need. I need to move to a small town and be the big kahuna. You know what I'm saying?
You need to move to the small town, the small village of Seattle.
Seattle. It's tiny. Seattle's tiny. Yeah. Have you ever been there? No, we have to talk about that too. But she's the host. First of all, she's award winning, but she won an Edward R. Murrow Award for feature reporting. Big deal, blah, 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 Jewish. Okay. But, I mean, which is amazing in itself. But then she decides, I'm going to start this podcast because she loves food, called Your Last Meal. And it was about, it's what people would have for their last meal if they were dying in jail. And you were reading about people's last meals and realized it told a story. Their last meal told the story of who they were. And you were nominated for a James Beard Award for your fucking, you know what I've been nominated for? Nothing.
Bupkis,
you motherfucker.
That's so, what my mother would say. Bupkis.
So anyway, here she is, Rachel Bell, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
Woo! Woo! Oh my God, I've never had a bell with a bell. It's Bell Square.
I know, it's like Bell's palsy. Yes. Have you ever had Bell's palsy?
Unfortunately, no, but I strive to someday. But I have been to Taco Bell many times.
I know, I read that.
That's, you did?
Yes. Elisa thinks a lot of Jews get Bell's palsy, only because her sister had it. But I think, you know why? You know why I think a lot of Jews get Bell's palsy? Because apparently you get it from a breeze or a draft. A lot of people.
Or from gefilte fish.
Right. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. Yeah, it's like a gefilte disease.
Are you lying?
Of course not. I'm a medical doctor.
Oh,
no
God.
Way, man.
You're going to love Elisa because she thinks she's a doctor as well.
Whenever I hear your name, I want to tell you what I think of. So years ago, my friends and I were camping and there were three of us in a tent. Two of us were Jewish and one of them wasn't. And we started singing this song about the one who wasn't. And the song goes, "Jealous Judy wasn't Jewy, but she wants to be." And so when I hear Judy, I think of Jealous Judy.
Okay.
But of course, you're Jewy, so you have nothing to
strive
for.
That's hilarious. But the most non-Jewish thing about that is that you went camping. What the fuck is that?
I know. I know. I think I'm a bad Jew in that way. I've been here. I listen to the Unorthodox podcast.
I love the Unorthodox podcast.
It's my favorite. And I learn all these things like, oh, why do I do that? I shouldn't be doing that. I'm a Jew. Or also all these things that I thought my family did that was weird. It's a Jew thing. It wasn't just my family.
Right, right.
Like I don't use a top sheet on my bed. And I
you
learn
don't?
Unorthodox.
I do.
I have gone on and off throughout the years. I just thought it was me. Turns out because I'm a Jew, I don't want to use a top sheet.
Now, what is that? Because my mother... Oh, guys, I'm recording a podcast and I have...
Yeah, I just have a question.
I love how formal your operation is.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, I can't have any background noise. I'm in my closet right now
please.
Because my next door neighbors are doing construction. But you know what? I think I could leave the closet. It seems
casual.
Yeah,
you can. Who cares? I mean, it's like just Judy Gold's podcast. Wait, let me take a picture. Wait, Dar, get in the picture. So I can take a picture for the,
Oh, there she is.
Hi.
You have a really good nose, and I'm obsessed with noses.
Oh, Dr. Guy.
Thank you. No, you tell her.
Okay, so I have this joke in my act about how we got our DNA done, and I am 99.8% Ashkenazi Jew, and Elisa is 99.9% Ashkenazi Jew. They took a 1% off for a rhinoplasty.
Point one.
Whatever.
Point one. Yes, I'm a child of
is
the
that
70s.
True?
Yeah, she had rhinoplasty.
Is this a fake nose? Oh, yes. My God. Did you get this for your bat mitzvah?
No, I was 17. And I was in Westchester. I grew up in Westchester County, New York. And that's what the girls were doing. I don't know. It was horrible. I don't know why I did it.
This is what happened.
He died of AIDS, Dr. Guy.
Yeah, Dr. Guy. He did
all the Jewish girls from Long Island and Westchester.
Okay.
And then he died of AIDS.
Okay. And it's sad. But Elisa was depressed at 19. Her mother said,
17.
17.
Yeah, probably because I was a lesbian and I was depressed. So my mother said, why don't you get your nose done? And I said, oh, great. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. And then she waited 44 years. 17 minus what's 44 minus 17? That's 34 minus 7. It's 27. She waited 27 more years to come out after the 17.
Well, not exactly, but okay.
All right.
That's a longer story.
So
listen,
do you
got to talk to Rachel? What?
But one question though, do you find that people don't think you're Jewish because of your nose?
Yes. They think I'm Irish.
Because I didn't think that you were Jewish because of your nose.
I know.
And does that bother you? Do you feel like that you got something, like a part of your heritage removed?
Yes, I do. Now, as an adult. But I didn't.
And you look at her nose.
I actually regretted it the morning after it happened. I was like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And then I went to Israel for 6 weeks and I don't know.
Did your mom save the tip of your nose for you and your baby book?
It wasn't even a bad nose before.
No, her nose was good. Like, I look at pictures and her nose...
It just had a bump on the top because I went to B'nai B'rith conventions and I got it smashed on some... You know, we were, like, fooling around in B'nai B'rith and, you know, I smashed it a few times. But it was fine. It wasn't that bad. So, yes, people think I'm not Jewish. Pamela Adlon didn't think I was Jewish.
Yeah, Pamela Adlon will not...
Fuck Pamela Adlon.
Pamela Adlon will not even entertain the fact that she's not Jewish. That she's Jewish.
I do regret that I had it done, but what can I tell you? That was That's
I wonder if anyone has ever gotten a nose job to look more Jewy. Like, what if you just added on a little bump and a hump?
Yeah.
You could do a reverse nose job.
Yeah, like someone, like a know. Like an Irish person who's in medical school and wants to get a bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, you could get a nose transplant for some Jew with a big nose who died in an accident or something.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that, Rachel. Rachel.
This is my new business.
Rachel.
Uh-huh. That's what my mom said when she, my dad's Israeli and my mom's from Brooklyn. And so my parents were in Israel before my mom was pregnant and she heard my name in Hebrew, Rachel. And she said, what a gorgeous name. What is that in English? And I always just think like, how do you hear that? And you're like, how beautiful.
Wait, how do you hear that and not know that it's Rachel in English?
My mom.
What? My Hebrew name is Chavadisha. Chavadisha. Elisa Dawn. Dawn is my middle name. Where did my parents
come from? What
Dawn?
Is that? Such a good.
Dawn is not Jewish.
Dawn.
My Hebrew name is Yoali Chana. And apparently, and I'm named after my grandfather, Jesse, for that's why Judith. So I go, I guess it was my older son's bris. And they're like, no, Yoali's not a Jewish name. And I'm like, it's not Hebrew. It's Yiddish. And I'm like, well, that's my fucking name. And that's what my grandfather's name was. And fuck you. So like, anyway, so I'm Yoali. All right. This is getting way too Jew. All right. So Rachel Bell.
Yoali.
So your mother's New Yorker. Your father's Israeli. Please don't tell me he's a Trump lover.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
No. But they do have those people in their circle and they don't know how to deal with them.
Yeah. We can talk about that later on in the podcast because it's a problem with the Jews. It's a problem because it's so divided. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I grew up Reform Jewish. And so my idea of Judaism was super liberal. You could be a woman rabbi. You could be a gay rabbi. And it wasn't until I moved to Seattle and we have a conservative talk host that is Jewish. And I was like, what? I was so confusing to me. I was 25 before I knew that Jews could be Republican.
Right. It's so weird. So your mother's a New Yorker. Your father's Israeli. And you grew up in the Bay Area. How did they end up in the Bay Area?
They met in L.A. My mom had a friend who had an Israeli boyfriend, and they were trying to do all this matchmaking, like match up all these Israeli guys with all these Jewish girls. And it worked. And then my dad got a job in the Bay Area, and they moved up north.
So why was your
wagon.
Mother in L.A.? Did she grow up in New York, your mother?
Yeah, when she was in her 20s, she moved to L.A. In Brooklyn and the Bronx is where she was born. And she was kind of like a free spirit and a wanderer. And she moved
like
to
a
LA.
Hippie?
Yeah, she was a hippie, but she was like a fake hippie because she looked like a hippie, but I don't think she cared about the causes. But she was like,
she just wanted to
fringe.
Wear the bell bottoms and then, that's so adorable.
Yeah, she's very cute. Actually, she sent me a picture this week because when she was living in LA, when she followed a boyfriend there, she would tell me all these stories, which I just thought was so cool that she lived on Mulholland Drive and she slept on a mattress on the floor and she lived with boys and girls. And I was like, oh my God, I can't.
Do you think she did anything? Like,
well, diddled? She told me that she accidentally did acid once because someone put it in her drink. But I don't know if it was an accident. Yeah. But yeah. So she had that kind of boho lifestyle. And then she somehow married my dad, who is an engineer and was going to UCLA and like a straight arrow. And so they have exact opposite personalities.
So your mother's whole side of the family are Brooklyn, Jewy. Your great uncle Murray invented the tube top. Do you think?
Yes.
Do you think? It's so interesting because I was thinking of tube tops the other day, and then and then I was like, oh my God, her great uncle Murray invented the tube top, and I was like, I fucking hate it. First of all, I hated tube tops because I was so
big, and
I could, you know, it was like I was gigantic, so not fat, but you know, tall. It doesn't look good on a tall person. He must have been a perv, Uncle Murray. Do you know? Is he alive?
He has passed away.
Bye, Uncle Murray.
Bye, Uncle Murray. Well, it's funny. His real name's Abraham. And I would ask my grandma, because my grandma's real name was Sarah, and she went by Sue. And I was like, why do you all have different names?
Oh.
Ugh, we didn't like our names. Our mother said, what do I care? Change your name. Make it whatever you want.
That's so opposite of my family. They really wanted to assimilate your family.
Apparently so. Yeah. I don't know the deal with this tube top, except for that when I was a kid, we had like a million of them that we would play with because it wasn't like the tube top now. It was like that ruched stretchy material.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing was ruched.
Right.
And so as a kid, we would wear them like as a skirt and a top and a middle. And
yes, I remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We would wear like seven of them to make one outfit. And my mom always told me he invented it. And I was like, no, he didn't. Like, what? Uncle Murray invented the tube top. Like, what are you talking about? And then I looked it up and his name is on Wikipedia. So I guess
I burped. No, wait. So did he make a fortune?
No, that's why I didn't believe it, because they just lived like a normal life. I think they moved to Orange, New Jersey.
Oh, yes. I grew up around there.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I just know he started in the garment business in Manhattan, I think in the Lower East Side.
Right. Because
that's where my grandma, they grew up in the Lower East Side, like in the tenements. So.
Oh, my God. You're so Jewy. All right. And then.
I know.
And then your grandfather's cousin invented, I mean, this is where you probably get your food thing from. Invented.
This is my favorite thing.
Huh?
This is my favorite thing ever. Yes. This is my family's claim to fame.
Your grandfather's cousin invented the, are you ready, folks? Bagel dog. Which are fucking amazing. So tell everyone what a bagel dog is.
Okay. So their brand that they invented, which it's dead now, it's all done, was Dr. Stein's, which.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Because they were frozen.
Yeah, they were frozen. Yes. And my grandma would work at Costco and wear the little hairnet and be giving out samples of them.
Right.
So Mel was his name. He invented the bagel dog. My grandpa would work for him. So my grandpa's trunk was wall-to-wall fucking bagel dogs. And everyone in town, I grew up in the suburbs in the Bay Area where my grandparents moved when I was a baby to be out there. So his name was Poppy Shelley, and he had this big belly, and he had gold chains, and he would sit out by the pool at the apartment complex with that silver thing to try to
To burn your skin and get melanoma. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Like a reflector.
And he was like really dark, and he would sit out there. And so everyone would be like, oh, your grandpa's the bagel dog guy. So one time my grandpa came over and he gave me a clock radio in the shape of a Coke can. And I said, thank you. And he goes, you better not break that, kid. I traded that for 17 dogs. They called them Franks and dogs is what my grandma called them.
And they were it was a hot dog that was, instead of in a blanket, it was in a bagel dough.
Sorry, I forgot to say what it was. And yeah, so, but there was something about the texture of the dough that was so good. Like when you cut it in half, it was really soft and squishy inside.
I know.
And then it was like crusty on the outside. And then sometimes if you were lucky, you could get the hot dog that was injected with liquid cheese. That one was good too.
See, I grew up kosher, so.
Yeah,
so that wasn't happening. So. Let's put an end to this right now, because I don't know where my kids got this from, but when you eat a hot dog, it's mustard. It's not fucking ketchup. Can we just put ketchup on your hot dog?
I do.
What the fuck? But it's mustard. It's not ketchup.
That's such a New York thing. And I feel like, you know, people in Chicago have the same thing. Like, you're supposed to eat it this way. I grew up in the Bay Area. We put ketchup on our hot dogs.
That is gross. No, it's always mustard. That's disgusting. You put ketchup on a hamburger and mustard. So what do you put mustard on if you don't put it on a hot dog?
I put it on a hot dog, too. I put it both. But I have to tell you, so my boyfriend is one of those people who eats everything plain.
Right.
And I always thought, like, what a fucking baby. Like, everyone who says they want something plain, I'm, like, embarrassed, and I think they're a two-year-old.
Right.
But then I tried a plain hot dog. We went camping. I know, not Jewy. And, like, you know when it's on the grill and it's really good? And for the first time, I tasted the meat. And before, I always drowned it out with like ketchup and mustard and onions and sauerkraut, and you can't taste anything. So now I have this thing about also with like cheeseburgers, nothing on them. Because if the meat is good and it's melty, you can actually taste the meat and it tastes really good without anything on it.
Wow.
This is new to me.
Okay. First of all, there's nothing like a hot dog with loaded with mustard and sauerkraut. Like there's nothing.
Okay. Yeah, that is good. I love the sauerkraut.
And then on the burger, now I grew up, I never had a cheeseburger. But then, you know, now that my parents are dead, I have decided to eat whatever the fuck I want. A cheeseburger with caramelized onions.
Yes.
I mean, there's not, and pickles. Like, I'm so hungry right now.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. You don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Did your whole family move to the Bay Area? Like, do you have any siblings?
I have a sister, yeah. But we were all, I was born in the Bay Area. So my parents moved there before I was born.
Okay. And what is your sister older or younger? I couldn't find any information.
She is younger and leading a secret life.
Really?
No. She's a few years younger than me.
Okay.
And now my whole family lives in San Diego.
Oh, very nice. Okay. So when you were little, I read, you used to go in the living room and do like radio shows and...
Yes.
Yeah. And so you were always sort of...
a show pony or just very, I'm sure you were the same way. Like, I think people like us just were annoying out of the womb. Like,
right.
I watch, my mom has these videos of me when I was a kid. And when I've watched them alone, I'm embarrassed to watch them. Cause I'm like, oh my God, be quiet. Like, no, it's just, I remember I taped this news program. I must've been 9 and my sister was in it. And I was wearing a full suit and tie because, you know, if you're going to anchor the news, you had
right.
to be a man.
You had to be a man. Yeah.
Yes, I was wearing my dad's suit and my sister's the weather girl. And this is classic me. My sister, I do my part and I'm fine. My sister starts to do the weather and she's really good. But I interrupt her to say, you're ruining it. You're not doing it right. And this is quintessential me. But when I watched it, I was like, she was so much better than me. I can't believe I was trying to tell her that she was
right.
the worst.
Oh, so that's so funny.
I feel bad in retrospect. And the cat did a great job in it, too. I mean,
wow,
everyone
was
good.
That's amazing. So you had an entire nightly news show in your living room. Mm-hmm. And so your father was an engineer and your mother was...
She didn't work until I was in middle school. And then she went back and got a certificate so she could teach preschool. And she taught at the synagogue. and she loved it. Yeah. This was at a time, I mean, this was in the 90s, but still, like, she would hug and kiss them. Like, now you can't do that.
You can't do anything.
Go crazy. But, like, she was kind of like their grandma, and they loved her, and it wasn't weird. Yeah.
Isn't that awful? Like, it's like they don't know where the line is. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like with comedy. I feel like it's the same thing. It's like, well, where's the line? Well, we're going to make everything bad. We're going to make everything bad. And it's ridiculous. Anyway, all right. So
yeah, it would be hard to be a comedian right now, because I have to say that I don't like a lot of the comedy out there right now because it's too woke. And it's not like I am.
Absolutely.
You know,
like, cut the shit. You know what? That's not how we, like, stop acting like people are offended by proxy now. It's like,
I know,
it's so ridiculous. It's I wrote, you know, I have a book coming out in July, which we'll discuss on your podcast.
Yeah, we're doing a little swap.
Called Yes, I Can Say That. When they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. And it's all about that. And it's like, I feel like people who are, well, you're younger than me, but I feel like people who are our generation, who know what a good joke is, you know, are not, you know, being woke. It's such an oxymoron. It's like, if you were woke, then you would go even further and say, oh, well, there's truth in that. And the point that person is trying to make, and there's nuance in that joke, and there's intent in that joke. But instead, they just get triggered by a word. I'm not listening anymore because I heard a word that I don't. It's like, fuck you. You're ruining comedy. Anyway.
Or the whole routine ends up being about all of this woke stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want to hear about it. Like, to me, comedy is an escape. And you're supposed to
laugh.
You know, you're laughing and... like, time moves differently because you're in the moment completely and you're laughing.
Right.
And so I don't really want to talk about, like, the problem with race in comedy. Like, you can do that somewhere else. Like,
right.
I don't know.
I think you can do it and make it funny. Like,
yeah.
You know, I used to do bits when gay people couldn't get married. And I used to talk about all the people who could get married. Like, you know, Jerry Sandusky, you know, who was the,
yeah.
you know, and Mary Kay Letourneau. And it's like, you know.
God bless her.
Right.
God bless
the
herself.
The ridiculousness of the fact that, you know, but that's when comedy is a social commentary. And
yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, that is true. Oh, yeah. You know, but when it gets too, like, I know exactly what you're saying. Anyway, I just spit. But so you're in, like, well, I'm going to go back to your childhood. You're in the Bay Area, which, you know, is the what part of the Bay Area?
I was in Pleasanton in the East Bay. So, like, a very boring place unless you're a child.
Right.
So, you know, like 20, 25 minutes east of Berkeley and like 45 minutes from San Francisco.
Cool. And was it like a normal, everything was just normal? Were you popular?
I wasn't popular, but in middle school, I was a huge nerd, and not like now, because everyone's like, I'm a nerd.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, okay, you have bangs and glasses.
You don't even know what it's like to be a nerd. Shut the fuck up.
Yes, exactly. But I had so many nerd friends that we didn't know that we were nerds. So
right.
We would get picked on, and I would get so confused and upset. Like, why are they saying this about us? We have cat earrings. Like, we're amazing. and my mom was so sweet that she was always telling me, like, my mom was very good at boosting my self-esteem. So
right.
I was confused. Like, I had a full-blown fucking unibrow
right.
and braces. And my mom was like, you're gorgeous and never forget it. So I was like, I am gorgeous. So, yeah, it was kind of a funny thing. But I remember, yeah, having this friend. And we tried, like, how many days in a row can we go wearing a different pair of cat earrings? I mean,
right.
this was, like, my entertainment.
But then
in high school...
Yeah.
I went this weird route from being a nerd into being a really bad kid and a huge partier and a metalhead. And I wore Pantera t-shirts and my parents hated it and smoked a lot of weed and
right.
did acid and mushrooms and all that kind of stuff.
Did you have a bat mitzvah?
I did.
You did
have a bat mitzvah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. What was your, someone said to ask me the other day what the theme of my bat mitzvah was. And as I have told this story numerous times, my mother loved being Jewish, and the bat mitzvah and bar mitzvahs were not about the party.
Right.
So they were about becoming a bar. And so I was so unpopular. And then now my mother's like, no, it's not about the party. I'm like, yes, it is.
Yes, but, it is. I want my Torah skull pearl cake.
Yeah. So we just had a dinner before, and then they had dessert after. Like, nothing. For my mother, for my brother, and they had brunch at the house afterwards. My sister had just dessert. I mean, like, literally, my mother.
No chicken dance?
Nothing. No.
No limbo?
No music. We were in the synagogue. Like, there's no photos, because you couldn't take photos. It was like, ugh. Anyway, so what was your theme?
Okay, my theme was cats, not the musical.
No way!
The animal. I told you I was so dorky, and the centerpiece on every table was a stuffed animal cat with balloons on it. My colors were blue and purple. And so as the date is approaching and we're getting everything together, my mom sits me down at the dining room table. We're supposed to pick the music.
Right.
And I wanted to have a DJ. And my mom was like, no, there's this band that I really want. Everybody wants this band. And she puts the cassette tape in and pushes play. And I wish I knew what they were called, but it was this klezmer band that did covers of oldies. And so this was what I remember that day. Let's twist again. Oh, yeah. Like they did last summer. Oh, let's twist again like they did last year. And I was like, no, I can't have this. So I was lucky and I got a DJ, but there was this kid in my Hebrew school class and he got stuck with that fucking band.
Oh, that let's geese again like we did last summer. Ah! Oh my God, that's hilarious.
La 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 bamba. I mean, it was like, how could you do La Bamba with like a Russian accent or like a Polish accent?
Oh my God, they did it. Fucking hilarious. Okay. So now so what, you became like a
woman.
So no, like in high school you became like a druggie, but did you still get good grades?
I had okay grades. I graduated with a 2.8.
No, that's not good for the Jews.
I know, but now you couldn't even get into college with that. So
I know.
At the time I was like, here I go, it's fine.
So yeah. And you were, like, fine in high school. It wasn't like...
Yeah. It was kind of one of those where it's like, she's smart, but she doesn't apply herself.
Right, I was just
really obsessed with my friends, and I just wanted to hang out
but
all
that's
the
normal.
Time. Yeah.
Were you in the play or the band or anything?
Well, my freshman year, I did one play, Once Upon a Mattress. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. And I did swimming, and then I started doing drugs, and I quit everything, and so I had
and
no school.
And were your
spirit.
Parents like, oh, my God, Rachel is doing the drugs. I don't know what to do. They were? Yes.
Oh, yeah. My mom, her favorite thing was, you are stoned out of your face. They knew. They knew. And I was smoking cigarettes, and I got a tattoo with a fake ID, and they were not happy.
You got a tattoo? That is fucking anti-Jewy Jew. What did you get?
Oh, it's so dumb. I'm lucky with what I have because at the time I was still really into heavy metal. And my best friend who I went with, she got the biohazard symbol.
Oh, God.
Which, like, ugh. But I got just a moon and a star. But I have a tramp stamp. I don't want a tramp stamp.
Where is it?
It's on my lower back. So I'm stuck with
this. Is that the only one you have?
Yes, because I'm so traumatized that I'm going to make another bad decision that I won't get one. But I will say my mom now has two tattoos. And
what?
One is she has a Mahjong tattoo.
That's great.
I know. She has the Joker tile from Mahjong tattooed on her ankle.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
No. And her nose pierced. So, you know, Barb, she's doing it. Yeah. Well, actually, then she had a nose job and she had to take it out.
Oh,
I mean,
my
that's
God.
Very Jewy.
Can you talk like your father?
I can't because I can't hear his accent. It's so weird.
Because does he do this a lot? They always say a lot.
I know. He's been here so long and I think wanted to assimilate that I don't think he has a very strong accent.
Right.
But people tell me he has one, but it's like he doesn't have that classic Israeli accent. Yeah. And he was born in Romania and his parents were Romanian and they spoke to each other in Hungarian exclusively. So I think he has
Hungarian?
Like a mix. You are?
Yes, I love Hungarian food. Love Hungarian food. Love.
What's funny, I don't know Hungarian food, which is so strange because my dad is a cook, but he never really made anything.
So
what is Hungarian food?
It's chicken paprikash.
Okay.
A lot of paprika. You know, it's so interesting because we're from Budapest and yet my parents, my grandmother and my mother spoke German to each other, some sort of German Yiddish combination, when they didn't want anyone to know.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. And then, but yeah, we did a lot of potato soup, but the chicken paprikash, stuffed cabbage,
Okay.
That would be my last meal.
Eastern European.
Very Eastern European. And heavy and heavy and heavy. And bread and bread and dip the bread.
I love our new sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. It is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers, of which I am one of them. They have everything you want, really, seriously, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. And I know you're thinking, Judy, you live in an apartment in New York City. What's with the fast-growing trees? Well, let me tell you something. You don't need to have a yard or a lot of space. You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home. And guess what I have? A fig tree in my office, and I fucking love it. I love it. Hi, Avi. His name is Avi. And I love him. And he brightens up. It makes me so happy. And I talk to him. Okay, I know I'm going overboard, but having plant life in your house is so comforting. And I love fast-growing trees. Thank you for this beautiful fig tree. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever. Okay. And I just got a new pot for Avi. So I'm going to be calling them and asking them the correct way to put it in there. You will find the perfect thing for your climate, for your space, for your aesthetic needs. It's great. I love it. I have a plant and it's so, I'm telling you, it has made me much happier. And you know how happy I am. Anyway, this spring, which is, you know, spring is, it is the growing season. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online. Up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
So you go to college.
Yes. I went to school in Chico, which is a few hours north of the Bay Area.
Yes.
And that's like when I came back and found myself. I think that my brush with the bad kids was definitely a phase because all of them really were. Like all of my friends, none of them went to college. A lot of them went to jail. But I came from this,
you know,
good family.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, like for drugs and stuff like that. But as soon as I went to college, I kind of flipped back into my core self and who I was supposed to be, because I always knew I had to go to college. I was supposed to go. And then I looked back and realized that my friends in high school were complete assholes.
Right.
I feel like I found my real people in college, you could just be silly and everybody and everything is funny. And yeah.
Are you friends with any of your people in high school?
Two people, but yeah, I don't have any interest in going to the reunions.
I have no high school friends. I mean, I have some who were a year older than me, but I was just, I hated it. Okay. So, you go to college. What do you study?
I'm one of those rare people that does the thing that I studied. I studied media. So my senior year in high school, I took this class I wonder if I would have gone into what I did if I didn't have this class. It was called ROP, Regional Occupational Programming. And like some kids would do landscaping or childcare.
Right.
And so I did this class where we would make a half an hour TV show for the cable access channel.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it would air after Saturday Night Live. It was on at like one in the morning. One 1:30 in the morning. But it was so fun because we got to leave after lunch and the rest of the day we would just have the video cameras. We were all high and we were just making music videos and stuff and doing all the editing. And so because of that class, I was like, oh, I want to be a movie director.
Right.
So I went to college. I didn't know what a movie director even did. It just seemed fun.
Right.
And then so I did all media classes and I ended up taking one broadcast news class just on a whim. And in the class, we did a project where we were going to make a show and everybody auditioned for whatever part they wanted. And I won the part to be the on-air anchor person. And so I think that was kind of like the first thing. And then I was given an internship that I don't remember picking at a news station. a radio news station, and I've never been into the news. That was just never my thing, but I loved the people in the newsroom. I was like, oh, these people are just like me. Everyone is snarky,
right,
has like a dark sense of humor, and it just felt like I could be myself, because as a kid, I feel like, I don't know, I bet a lot of people feel this way, that you have to have a work self and then a home self. That, you know, you go to work and you speak this certain way and you're nice and polite. And in a newsroom, you just are completely yourself, balls out.
Right, right.
And so I just felt very comfortable there.
Did you watch Mary Tyler Moore?
No.
Oh, my God. I've never seen it. Oh, my God. Promise me.
Okay.
Because are you quarantined?
Yeah. Well, no, I go to work still. That's a lie. Okay. I'm a little quarantined.
Do you have a lot of free time?
On the weekend.
Okay. You have to watch Mary Tyler Moore. Promise me to watch Mary Tyler.
I will. It's a classic. I need to watch it.
It's like the greatest TV show ever.
Is she a news lady?
Oh my God. They work in a newsroom.
How did I not know this?
How do you not watch Mary? Oh my God.
Learned this in college.
Mary Tyler Moore theme is my ringer on my phone.
How does it go?
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it. Love is all around, no need to waste it. You can have the town, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. And it's about a single woman in the 70s. Rhoda Morgenstern is her Jewish neighbor. Oh my God, she lives in Minneapolis. You have to fucking watch. I can't do your podcast unless you start watching it.
Okay, I promise. I want to. I want to please you. I want to be like you. I want to make you happy.
No, you don't want to be like me at all. Ugh, it's too much fucking work. Okay, so... All right, so you graduate college.
Yes.
And you're a different person than you were in high school. Like, you're like, oh, you got your shit together. And yeah. How do you get your first job?
I already had it because I had that internship and I convinced them to hire me.
What?
And so I was in this really small market in Chico, California. It was probably like market 289.
Right.
And I was working at this news station. Well, there was like five stations in the building and I was doing something on all of them. So I was a, quote, news reporter at KPAY, but I never left the building. One time we covered this story and it was that there was a brown dog that had rabies. And if you saw him, don't get near. He has rabies. I mean, we were doing like breaking news.
Right, right.
Hard hitting news. And then they started me there also as a country music DJ. And I didn't know anything.
Oh, my God. Country
music. Sometimes I would say she when it was a he. Like if it was Taylor Swift, which was this was way before that, I would have said he. I had no idea. So they took me off. And then I was a 80s, 90s and today DJ on 95.1 The Mix, which is still on. It was like wall to wall Celine Dion and Spandau Ballet.
Right.
And yeah, I did all that. So I worked there for a few years and then I moved to Sacramento for another news radio job.
Okay. So I have performed in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
Depressing.
You think so?
I find it depressing there. It's not, it's because when you think of California, right? You think of like San Francisco or Napa or LA or San Diego or Palm Springs. And then Sacramento is so not California.
Yeah, there's nobody in a bikini rollerblading in Sacramento.
Right. It's just, it's like the normal part of California. I don't know. But
there's
that's where the governor,
like
that's the capital.
It sure is. Yeah. Look at you and your geography. Wow. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas. I thought that Sacramento was going to suck too because people called it an armpit and I thought I would never move there. But if you're in the downtown part, well, actually they call it Midtown, which being from New York, you would go and be like, excuse me.
Right, right.
But it's actually quite charming if you're in that section. There's like all the houses are Victorian little dollhouses and it's very cute. But then, once you get out into the suburban
part.
Not that exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're working in Sacramento, which, I feel like when I started doing my stand up, I would go out to other cities and places to get stage time, but then I'd always come home. But when you're in your job, when you are a broadcaster, you have to go, like, you're like, this radio station could be like, oh, we want Rachel. And you have to fucking get up and leave and become a part of the zeitgeist of that city. Like, you're moving from one city to another and you have to become part of the personality of that. It's more than just like, hi, I'm Rachel. It's like, hi, I'm Rachel. I just moved here and I have to learn everything I can about the way people think here and what interests them. Is that?
You are the first person who has ever recognized that. No one has ever said that to me before, and you are 100% right. And it's like immediate, because I have a friend who's a professor and they do interviews for jobs 9 months in advance,
right,
before it starts. Like, if every job I've ever gotten, you get the job and you have to start in 2 weeks. So the next week you go and you try to quickly find an apartment, you fly and you try to do it. And then the next week you live there. And yeah, you're right, because everyone listening expects you to know how to pronounce the weird fucking names of the streets and the towns and the rivers,
right,
and everything,
and
which was harder moving to Seattle because we have a lot of Native American names. That's like, all right, Ghost, Skykomish, Snoqualmie,
right,
like all these names. But yeah, you're totally right. And people don't have the patience for you to make a mistake about, you know, the culture of where they live.
Yeah, I always, the other thing, like as a comic, all the broadcasters, like the news people, always dressed the way the people in that city dress. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so
yeah,
I would always make sure I didn't look too, I don't know, I always paid attention to that. Like, oh, this is what people wear here and this is how people talk. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when I was on the road, there was no internet. There was none of that stuff. And you would have to fill up your fucking day. And you wanted to do, like as a comic, like, you go to a city and you'd want to talk about, like, oh, this is what I noticed at the city, to open it up and get everyone to love you and disarm the audience. But
insult them with their stereotypes.
Right, right. And I just always noticed that if you want to know the style of people in a certain area, look at their nightly news.
That's so funny. I want to start doing that because I don't watch TV news, but
right. You're
right. Like, in small markets, it's very funny
right. To
watch
right.
the news. It's interesting with the way that everything has evolved in media, that news has not really evolved that much. People still speak in that news voice. And
right.
we all know that no one talks this
right,
way.
Right.
Why are they doing
right,
it still?
Right.
Like, it's strange that that hasn't changed or evolved. And
right.
also, like, the hairdos, you know, and like all the makeup and
right.
the certain look and like the fakeness.
Yes.
I don't know, because with social media and Instagram, people demand you be real and they want like no bullshit.
Right.
But for some reason, the people on the news, I think there's something, you're trying to be taken seriously and you're trying to pretend you're not like a regular person, I guess, so that like this is fact time. You
right.
know, we're not fucking around
anymore.
But it's
also like, I feel like it's like that when you watch network television versus cable. I mean, cable TV is so much more real than network. Everything is so watered down and,
yeah.
you know, this is what's presentable for our, you know, or all of our network rules and stuff. But yeah, it's, I just find it so interesting because when you, as a broadcaster, will move to a certain place, the responsibility you have as like someone they want to trust you. It's like same with comedians. When you get on stage, they want to laugh. They don't want, you know what I mean? And so, and so you're moving to Sacramento where you've never been. And it's like, you're going to be the voice of Sacramento.
Right.
And when,
there's even like the microclimates. Cause like being in Seattle, you know, the station I work for, Cairo, is the biggest radio station in the Northwest. And so I live in Seattle, in the city, but most of our listeners don't. They live, you know, in the suburbs or like these surrounding areas. And so I represent like liberal 40-year-old woman, city girl who, you know, is living by herself with her cat.
Right.
And so that appeals to like certain kind of people. Other people are just like, I don't relate to you.
Right,
like,
right, right,
you know,
right.
I'm a blue collar worker and I don't get it. And so, you know, I think like in bigger cities, you kind of have
right.
It's like a more vast audience to don't, try
it's
to
like
figure
a
out.
Trust thing. I think it's like a trust yeah. thing. So you do you still love cats?
Yes, I have my little cat
so,
Poppy.
Have you been watching Tiger King?
I just learned about that yesterday. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh my God. 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 Oh,
what is it?
It's, I can't even describe it. It's so psycho, but you still have to watch Mary Tyler Moore before you watch that.
Okay. I would rather watch MTM.
Okay, good. Oh, that's okay. right. Mary, that's how, all right, whatever. Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Rachel Bell. Tune in next week for part two. And if you like the show, please, please, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing show. 5 stars only. Thank you very much. If you've purchased tickets to any of my upcoming events or performances, please refer to your point of purchase for updates on rescheduling or refunds. And as we all know, this is an uncertain time and it sucks. So while you're social distancing, washing your hands, not having sex, having anxiety, not sleeping, take this time to listen to the entire backlog of amazing interviews we've done on Kill Me Now. I'm really proud. It's been 5 years and I'm really proud. I'm proud. And I've talked to some amazing people and had some great conversations. Also, you can listen to my comedy albums. I have 3, Conduct Unbecoming, Kill Me Now, and my first album, Judith's Roommate Had a Baby. Or as my mother would say, Judith's Roommate Had a Baby. You can get links to all of these at my website, judygold.com, judygold.com. And make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for everything, for laughs, for fun, for updates, at Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D, you know, like Jew Gold. And I hope you're all safe and well, and thank you so much for listening. I hate to repeat what you know who said, but we are all in this together. So be well, and as we always say, so long!
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn... for part two on Just Kill Me...
No, it's not. It's
Just Kill Me.
Now. No,
no, Judy Gold's Just no, Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.